In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is a rare grace for us this morning to have a sung Mass for a Feria of Lent. It's not something we've ever done here before. The only Feria of Lent for which any of us really have had the opportunity to hear a sung Mass is for Ash Wednesday. Other than that, after that, throughout the 40 days of Lent, we customarily have low Mass. It is then a great grace to place ourselves in the position of our earliest fathers in the faith who would have sung today's Mass, for instance, in Rome, making the great station at the Church of St. Susanna with the Pope for the celebration of Holy Mass on this day of Lent. Of course, the Church of St. Susanna was chosen because the epistle is about the Old Testament St. Susanna, and so the two names are associated. But the Susanna of the Old Testament is, of course, associated with someone else today. It is a marvelous and truly inspired juxtaposition, similar to what we had last Saturday, where we had the story of Jacob and Esau, these two brothers, juxtaposed with the story of two other brothers, the faithful son and the prodigal son, in the parable told by our Lord. Today, it is the story of innocent Susanna crying out for justice, which is compared to that of the woman taken in adultery in the Gospel of St. John, crying out for mercy. And so we find that the chants of today's Mass apply to both of them, that is, except for the final one. As for the introit, we have heard the chant, "Give ear, O Lord, to my words, understand my cry, hearken to the voice of my prayer, O my King and my God." In the beautiful gradual, which we have just heard before the chanting of the Gospel, "For though I should walk in the midst of the shadow of death, I will fear no evils, for thou art with me, O Lord, thy rod and thy staff, they have comforted me." And then in the offertory, "Direct my steps according to thy word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me, O Lord." We understand then that these chants of the Mass could be taken in two senses. It is the cry at first of Susanna, who has been unjustly accused of adultery and is about to be condemned to death. She, rather than succumb to the sinful wishes of those wicked men who had power over her, wished rather that God alone should know the truth, even though she should die, condemned unjustly. She nevertheless cries out to the Lord, begging for justice and vindication. The woman taken in adultery is, of course, guilty. She can pray only for mercy. Both of them do walk in the shadow, in the valley of the shadow of death. One with death looming because of an unjust accusation, the other death looming because of her truly sinful deeds. Both of them then pray that no injustice, no iniquity may dwell over them. The iniquity of others, in the case of Susanna, and her own iniquity in the case of the woman taken in adultery. Today, both the justice and the mercy of the Lord are showed forth, that God grants justice. In the end, all wrongs will be righted, even if it be only at the end of time. All those who have done wickedly will in the end receive the due reward for their wicked deeds. And those who were seen in this life to be sinners will finally be vindicated. Whereas those who confess their sins and are truly repentant and look to the Lord for mercy shall in the end obtain it. We turn then to the final chant which we have in today's Mass, and it is on this one alone where I will comment upon the music. The communion antiphon, which we hear immediately after we have all received Holy Communion and the tabernacle is closed, simply takes up the final words of our Lord in the Gospel to the woman. Has no one condemned thee, woman? No one, Lord. Neither will I condemn thee. Go, and now sin no more. It is a rare opportunity I have today to comment to you upon the chant for this antiphon. It is set to the eighth mode, a mode that is often used for antiphons on great feast days. It is a mode that denotes completion, achievement, the affirmation of a truth. And so perhaps it is not surprising that we should hear a chant and have the words of our Lord set to this tone immediately after Holy Communion. We have confessed our sins, we have placed ourselves on our knees before the mercy of God, and he has stretched forth his gentle hand to offer us healing and nourishment. And so it is for us a prayer of thanksgiving for being healed after Holy Communion. And it is, as I say, set to the eighth mode. Most of you will not return, perhaps, this evening to hear Vespers chanted, but if you were to return, you would hear these very same words in the antiphon this evening for the Magnificat, that great prayer of thanksgiving of Our Lady, which we hear every night at the evensong of the Church, the Office of Vespers. And so we have this antiphon again. Remarkably, however, this evening those very same words will be set to a different tone, not to the powerful and affirmative eighth mode, which we hear this morning, but rather to the haunting, somewhat incomplete, third mode, with a tone of sadness in our Lord's low voice as he descends down to the low me in the antiphon. Why would the Church take these very same words which were in the Mass and not simply chant them again in the same tone this evening? Why would the angels have handed down to us from heaven in our priceless Gregorian chant a different melody for this evening's office? It calls to mind the words, perhaps, that we have heard only a few passages earlier in the Gospel, where our Lord says to the man whom he has healed, when he sees him again, "Behold, thou art healed. Go and sin no more, lest something worse befall thee." These words seem not so different from the words he has said to the woman taken in adultery. And yet they call to mind why the Church would perhaps place a different tone this evening. Here we have attended Holy Mass. We have received the grace of the Lord through his holy sacraments. In the evening song of the Church, before we take our repose and this day comes to a close, our Lord comes again with his voice, but to remind us in the same words, now in a more haunting tone, "Behold, thou art healed, but sin no more, lest something worse befall thee." If this morning we rejoice in our Lord for his gentleness and mercy, we must remember this evening that our Lord's mercy is not promised forever. He promises mercy and forgiveness to those who repent their sins today. He never promises tomorrow. But today, as we place ourselves at his mercy, we rejoice in hearing those words, "I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more."